Last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales Presents, a curated actual play 5e Dungeons & Dragons game set in the world of the monthly subscription service Dungeon in a Box. This is the first episode of the first released subscription, The Caravan of Peril. So come on in, grab a seat by the bar, as we present this very special limited series.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise your glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, 'cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
Hi, and welcome to a very special edition of Tavern Tales. I'm Kyle, I'm your host, and in this special edition of Tavern Tales, we are going to play through, with my wonderful band of new players here in front of me, the Dungeon in a Box special first module, The Caravan of Peril, as presented by www.dungeoninabox.com. Check it out today. As I'm the Dungeon Master, it is my privilege and pleasure to sit around the table with a group of diverse and interesting fellows that I've met along my way, half of which have never played Dungeons & Dragons before, the other half of which are not very good at Dungeons & Dragons, and so I will leave it to you, the listener, to determine which is which.
Wow.
And with that in mind...
That's so mean.
Why don't we go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves and their characters.
Hi, my name is David. I'll be playing Torin. He's a first level human ranger. He is a seeker of knowledge, always trying to hone his knowledge and his skills. And that's what brought him to the book club in one fine day.
My name's Carrie. I'm going to be playing Alin, first level druid, dark elf. And I'd rather make new friends than new enemies. And that's what brought me to the book club in.
Hello, I'm Marie Claire, and I am known to the Tavern Tales followers, but my character is named Nim, and she is a wood elf paladin who has been in the city for over 100 years, but actually is from a very far distant land originally, and still, even after 100 years, has not adjusted to the social norms of society here in this city, and occasionally will make odd mistakes. So that's what she's all about.
Hello, my name is Lucas Seeger, and I will be playing Fifrud, the dwarven cleric. And an interesting little fact about my character is that his name has two dots over the U in Fifrud.
It's an umlaut.
I think those are actually the tears of his mother as she was writing his name for the first time, because she lost the bet on what the name of the baby was.
It means something really dirty in Dwarven.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, you have the double dots, do you?
With that, welcome you four to Tavern Tales. Tavern Tales is not like a normal Dungeons & Dragons game. A normal Dungeons & Dragons game does not have all this podcasting equipment. But on really? Top of that, how I run Tavern Tales is that it is always a tale that is being told in some inn in the distant future about a group, a band of adventurers. How that helps you guys at the table is it gives you these motes. They're called story motes that hang and glisten in the air like lens flares off a J.J. Abrams movie scene shot. How that helps you is that it allows you to take control of the story from time to time. Something may happen in the tale as I am telling it you don't want to happen. You could have been pushed off a cliff, falling down into a river below to lose your companions. You don't want to be pushed off a cliff. You would like to spend one of these story motes. I have these clear gems that I will reward players for playing their character very well. Now, how do you earn these player motes? Well, first and foremost, by making me laugh. But secondly, when you guys picked your characters' backgrounds, you were required to roll twice on the personality trait, once on the ideal, once on the bond, and once on the flaw. You didn't get to pick these. You had to roll them. You've recorded them on the character sheet, and I now will have that for all time. If you play in accordance with these dictates upon your character sheet, and you call that out and say, Kyle, I did this thing, it caused me this detriment in game, or it made this thing happen in game, and I feel that that was a moment, you will earn a mote, which will allow you to change the effects of the game later on.
So it's kind of like if we cause ourselves detriment, then we get a reward.
If you adhere to the things that you rolled, then you will earn story motes as the game progresses.
Cool.
Now, for those who are listening now, as opposed to upstairs when we made our characters, these four people are not encountering one another in this inn, in the city, the ancient city of Mariposa, for the very first time. These characters all actually have an established relationship, more or less, as we go. So if we could just get a bit of a summarization, how do your characters know each other? And we'll start with David.
My character, Torin, knows Fifrud from the book club.
We decided that I want to help you find true love.
And I also wanted to help him find the same.
Yeah, we're basically wingmen. Yes, for each other.
Yeah, I literally have find each other wives, which will allow you to A, truthfully find true love for your friend, or just find a palatable spouse. So,
or unpalatable and tell them to deal with it. Like that.
You know, palatable because it has to say I do. I did not find the successful wife. So you can go as far or as close to that true love ideal as you'd like.
Hashtag not a dwarf.
Hashtag not a dwarf.
I also have a relationship with Alan. We trained together in the past. I'm guessing something knight, something stealthy. But in that training, we developed a certain bond that we could tell what each other is going to do. And that's really helpful. And it's great to have her by my side.
Carrie, is there a relationship that your character has at the table with someone else that you'd like to detail?
I have a relationship with Nem. She is my roommate.
That's about all we're going to go with right now. She can divulge more information if she wishes.
I feel bad, but not truthfully bad. Just like Nem feels like she needs to protect Alan from the harsh realities of being a discriminated elven individual in this city, I assume, because she's a drow or a dark elf. And it's, you know, it's really important to me that hashtag all elves lives matter.
We have two hashtags already as established upstairs and one now. Hashtag not a dwarf is because Fefrud is a dwarf and would likely not be inclined to marry outside of his racial normatives.
You have to be so short to ride the red.
You must be so short.
Well, that's not to say that Torin hasn't tried to set Fefrud up with non-dwarves. It's just never worked.
It probably has tried at least a couple times, I would think.
Furthermore, we also established a lot came up about book club upstairs. And so I took it upon myself to further define what book club was, because the characters also kept meeting in a tavern or a pub or an inn. So what has happened is that we've combined those two into one thing. There is a half-orc of Mariposa fame and reputation. In his adventuring days, he picked up a weighty tome and bashed in the head of a goblin chieftain with it, and it became his club of choice. And when he opened up a bar at the end of his long days of adventuring, he mounted the book in the bar and called it the Book Club Inn. thinking that it would attract many an adventurer who wanted to hear the tale of how he used a book in its most base fashion as a smashing tool. Unfortunately, all he seems to have attracted are sagacious gentlemen, well-learned scholars, and bored housewives looking for some fantastical adventure. He has a lot of business. Times are well at the book club inn, but he never gets to pull the old book club down and tell the tale in front of a roaring fire to the astonished amazement and adoration of the people there. They're all very offended at his chosen manner of using literature.
Nem knows Fifrud because at one point in his troubled past, she saved his life, and then through, you know, not wanting to hold it against him, totally forgot about it at some point and became drinking buddies with him, which he now has taken to.
Well, I have a life debt and I don't like it. So I'm trying to repay my life debt as quickly as possible. And then you won't let me.
And so it becomes this.
So it becomes a competition of who can help the other one more.
Exactly.
We find ourselves in the world of the Dungeon in a Box adventure set, specifically the Greenwald, which is this 3,000-mile expanse of forests and plains and great expanses of nature untouched or reclaimed from civilization. Within that, there are these dots and bastions that are of advancement in civilization still holding on, one of which is the largest, the aging and decaying empire of Mariposa, which is just one city now nestled within the confines of the Greenwald. And it only manages to continue to eke out an existence as a point of travel north and south within the Greenwald and east and west. So there are oftentimes many caravans coming through the Greenwald. We set our scene specifically in the Book Club Inn. There is a couple of rooms that are rented out upstairs, one of which a double occupancy room, which is currently installed with a dark elf and a wood elf in sort of an odd couple sitcom fashion. We all can figure out which is the cantankerous and ornery one.
Well, we can. Oh,
yeah. Uh-oh. And which is the lighthearted Balky of the Perfect Strangers Union. A common figure in the Book Club Inn is a gnomish wizard who has set it upon himself to teach a erstwhile ranger who is extremely good at throwing darts the intricacies of the game darts, specifically a countdown game or around the clock. And he's taught maybe 6 or 7 different darts games to our ranger Torin over time. We'll set our scene. It is the dinner hour. Our 4 adventurers have, for one reason or another, determined that they need to move on from Mariposa.
Are we having dinner together?
It is the dinner hour.
Oh.
Findel.
Findel's fizzle.
That I'm going to shorten to Finn, because
50 Shades of Findel?
50 Shades of Findel.
So there is this gnomish wizard of no small repute in Mariposa. He is in the Book Club Inn. He is practicing darts, and he is a known figure to the 4 of you. You have had interactions with him in the past for one reason or another, and he's playing darts. He espies each of you as you've all entered the room at around the same time. Let's say Torin was already there playing darts to set the scene. A fire crackles in the fireplace. Over the mantle hangs the book club. The half-orc is polishing a beer stein behind the bar, and there is about 6 or 7 other patrons in the book club. The tables are strewn and scattered about because people move them wherever they will, and someone is telling a tale to a group of bored housewives, a bard trying to set an epic down to memory. Findel notices The three of you enter the room and beckons you over. His name is Findal Dinfizzle Findazzle. If any of you wish to write that down so that you might have the ability to refer to it later, you may do so.
Findal.
Findizzle.
Nope. Findal Dinfizzle Findazzle.
I should know this.
Now, is that fizzle with two Zs? Dinfizzle with two Zs?
Everything has two Zs.
Even Findal?
If you can put them in there.
I'll find a way.
So we'll establish that your characters have sat down at a table not unlike this one, without the podcasting equipment, and you're all looking out upon each other. And Findal says, "Greetings! How are you all this fine and lovely evening?"
"We are well."
"I am good, sir. Thank you. How are you?"
"I must lamentably tell you all that I will be taking my leave in the morrow. I have hooked my wagon, as it were, to the caravan heading north."
"We'll all be sorry to see you go. Why are you leaving?"
"I have uncovered some useful knowledge and am going to make my way to Greyhaven, to the west."
"What knowledge is this?"
"I shan't pass it on in these well-eared walls, but it would be a boon and a blessing for you young adventuring folk to potentially hire yourselves on as guards. The caravan master, his name, Arual Hanna, which is A-R-U-A-L, Hanna, H-A-N-N-A-H, has let me know that he is in desperate need and that he has no guards upon which to secure and protect his forthcoming caravan. An interview with him on the morrow, as the wagon shall leave around noon, would be in your good interest if you are looking for A, adventure, B, gold, C, an opportunity to continue in my glorious and illustrious companionship and countenance, or D, a way to escape and leave Mariposa behind."
"I would follow you anywhere."
"Sorry, did you say gold?"
"Shit, that means I gotta go too."
"Indeed.
Damn it.
There is, in fact, gold to be had. I will leave that to the caravan master. I don't know what what the outgoing rate is for caravan guards, but nonetheless."
"Or E, that knowledge you're talking about?"
"Oh, indeed.
I'm in."
"Again, I would follow you anywhere."
"At a safe and respectable distance."
"What about you, Alin?"
"Yeah, I'm in."
Alin is already on her second glass of wine and is largely agreeable.
"Yes, largely agreeable."
So if we're roommates, the room is about to change to a different location that might not involve a roof.
"It's cold outside. We're good."
It's just, you know, it changes the relationship agreement.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And thus we need to move this roommate situation to an outdoor mate situation.
Indoor
camping?
Mate?
No, we're roommates. Currently, we share a room.
So tents.
And so now you have to share the outside.
The tent.
Now we're going
outside?
To be sharing the outside.
You'll
so
be
it's
tent
out,
mates.
Outmates.
Out. I am not being an outhouse mate. Okay?
I'm not sharing outside with either of you. And I'm going to be in the
what?
Same outside as you.
Tent mates? Is that what?
That's what.
This yeah,
tent.
It's or caravan
van
mates?
Mates? I don't know. What,
carriage mates.
Carriage mates.
Cart mates.
Cart mates.
We don't know what kind of
dude,
transport
we
have.
So, Torin, this is the illustrious conversation that you are going to be surrounded by, no doubt.
It's worth it for the eventual rewards.
Well said indeed.
Well, if you don't come along, then I can't hook you up with anybody.
I'll have to watch over you. Make sure that I can find someone along the adventure.
Truth. Hard truth.
Excellent. You agree to take on the role of caravan guards.
Before we leave, I would like to speak to the tavern owner, the half-orc.
Yes, you can definitely have an opportunity to do that.
Okay.
First, you enjoy your dinner. The half-orc will come over during the course of the dinner, and you can have a conversation with him then.
What are we eating?
Stew.
I separate all of the pieces of the stew into different portions on my plate. Like, even the wet parts are in a different area than all of
do you
the
like,
pieces.
Suck the like other pieces so that they are no longer wet and then
yes.
put them down as dry?
Yes, I do. And then I eat them separately in one by one.
I end up with as much on my face and clothing as I do in my mouth.
Oh, great. Yeah. Haven't figured out what a spoon is for.
I just thought that was what the bowl was for.
The bowl is a spoon.
The bowl
is the
just
spoon.
Gets lifted yes. up to my face and then I pour it in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And other parts of you. All right, that's perfect. Yes.
I try to patiently teach him how to use his cutlery.
And I start storing some of the soup in my pocket.
Let's be clear. Your character's not an idiot.
No.
No. So, I mean, he's not clear. He enjoys a mess, but he doesn't necessarily want to put soup in his pockets. He knows, I'm
animals?
Guessing he is smarter than the average person.
Yes.
And as a result, would not put soup in his pockets.
All right.
But
I will steal bread.
I still appreciate the color. Yes, you definitely put all, you're putting other characters' loaves in your pocket.
Saving it for later.
And let's be clear, he's not good at stealing. So everyone is and they're aware that this is just something that Fefrud does, is he takes your bread and he puts it in his pockets.
I have quite the collection back in my room.
It's all like moldy
stones. Stale.
Well, I guess penicillin. Hey, it's your own. It's your own.
So with that, dinner is had in a very unglamorous fashion. But it is not atypical for this group because they have had dinner together before. The half-orc does make his way over. And Findal gets up from the table just as the half-orc comes over. Findal pays for the entire meal and the cleanup for Fafrud's area.
This is why we love you.
As an ample tip to the half-orc. Can I get the half-orc's name from someone?
Greg.
Gregor.
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 Gregor
what?
Derringer.
His name is actually Greg or Greg.
Greg or Greg.
Yeah, so his mom wasn't too sure what she was going to name him when he was young, so she was like, it's either Greg or Greg.
There really was no debate, really.
Unfortunately, he is a half-orc named Greg or Greg.
The second Greg with two G's.
And two dots above the E. For the tears of his father who lost the bet in naming the child. With that being said, Greg does come over. Findal leaves, but with the parting advice of in the morning, he will have the caravan master come over to interview you to see if you are, you know, good individuals to hire on as guards for this caravan. So he takes his leave with a wave and a doffing of his cap and says, good evening to all of you, my friends. I look forward to our continuing adventures as we enter into the unknown. And then he attempts to vanish with a sort of poof, but it's really just a light pattering of feet as he runs away.
How do you do that?
I love a good mystery.
Mm-hmm.
With that, Greg comes over and says, how was supper?
Yum.
Fabulous.
It was very, very good.
I broke it into pieces and it was even better.
Stew is good.
Hey, Greg, have you read your book, your book club book?
Yeah, a title on the book of the book club, yeah.
Oh, what's it called?
A
bunch of characters. I haven't heard of that book before. What's it about?
It's about a foot and a half. You can see it on the wall.
It's a big book. Why would you make a book so big?
I didn't make the book.
Who
I
made
found
the book?
I don't know.
Where'd you find the book?
In a dungeon.
What Where language is it in?
Give him more food.
It was under a large mountain.
Where was the mountain?
To the north. And this goes on for quite a few minutes as Fefrud asks a large amount of largely trivial questions. It stands to note that Greg has never read the book. In fact, you're not too sure Greg can read. The book, though, is extremely damaged. It is caked and gummed up. You could not open the pages. And it was likely an arcane magical tomb, and that is the only reason it has managed to retain any shape or semblance to a book. Furthermore, he has glued and screwed a large piece of wood through the book and the binding to better wield the book club over the years.
That
Your
hurts
face
me.
Is amazing, David.
Yeah, David looks...
We're unimpressed that he wrecked a book.
Yeah.
But I've been going to this pub for a long time, so my initial disgust with what happened to the book has deteriorated over time.
Yes, this, what you're experiencing right now, is the least reaction his character has ever undertaken. What did your character do the first time he saw the book club?
Lean in.
He wanted to take it down and see what was in it. What language was it? What made it so fascinating that it was found under a mountain, and what arcane knowledge might it actually have?
And when you did try to take it down, Greg threw him bodily from the book club and said he was never allowed to come back. But when he did come back, two or three days later, Greg had already forgotten the interaction and he just came in. With that, you spend your last night in Mariposa, knowing that on the morrow you will soldier all of your material goods into your backpacks and your bags, sheathe your weapons, condense your magical arts into their most functional form, and then interview to become a caravan guard that's leaving that day. Is there anything that your characters would like to do with your one last night in Mariposa?
I would like to buy a dagger.
You buy a dagger.
It's what, like 5 gold, if that, I think?
It is definitely 5 gold.
Yeah, that's way too much for a dagger, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm out. I'm out of gold, that's it. We never actually rolled gold either.
You have a 5 gold dagger.
It must
and
be a
now
really nice dagger.
Several coppers in your pocket.
Great.
However, the dagger itself is worth 5 gold. And I will enter into a deal with you. I'll roll a d12, you roll a d10, and if I beat you, the dagger is worth less than 5 gold. But if you beat me, your dagger's actually worth, in Greyhaven or wherever you happen to get to down the road, you can sell it for considerably more than 5 gold.
I'm not sure I like those odds, but I can't resist.
All right.
First roll of the night, everybody.
Well,
I have rolled a 12.
I have rolled a 4.
And since you can't beat a 12 on a d10.
No!
Your dagger has sentimental value.
Worth more than 5 gold to me.
To you, and to whoever sold it to you. We'll get to that down the road. The rest of you may roll your gold if you can find the location in the book for you to roll it, but that's neither here nor there at the moment. Is there anything else you would like to do your last night in Mariposa? Although I'd really would like to write an adventure module called One Last Night in Mariposa.
Yes, that would be.
But you'd all be rolling on STD stats and charts for that, so let's not go there.
No, Mary Claire, I think he already decided that all the gold I have is a few copper pieces left over from buying the dagger.
He bought the dagger.
The rest
and
of
has
you
a few copper.
Can roll.
Exactly.
5d4. And for druids, it's 2d4 times 10 gold pieces. For rangers, it's 5d4 times 10.
While they're rolling, and since you're not rolling, Fefrud, can you tell me what god does your character worship?
I picked the light domain. I didn't actually pick a deity. That was foolish.
Okay, well, make sure you pick your god, and then let me know what your character uses for their holy symbol. So everyone else has their gold in their pockets.
Are we saying that I have to choose a deity from the Forgotten Realms in the book?
I would like you to pick a deity from the book.
Okay. Cool.
But since there are a lot of deities in the book,
like even Thor's in there and stuff, so you have lots of options.
Please have gods picked out for those of you who worship gods. For those of you who get their power from the natural and native environment, you can pick a god and have some sort of connection to a natural god like Sylvanas or something like that, but there is no requirement. You don't need to.
Sylvanas. And I have my shield is in the shape of a leaf.
I'm going to go with Fultus, god of light and law.
Ooh.
Silver sun or full moon partially eclipsed by a smaller crescent moon. So I will have a full moon partially eclipsed by a smaller crescent moon tattooed on my right palm, if you'll allow it.
Yeah, I totally will. With that being said, and no one has any other business that they'd like to...
I would like to cuddle with my friend before we leave on adventure, and I would like to awkwardly say, this is the last time we're going to be in this room.
I'm
going to
require more wine.
You get your wine, the cuddling commences, and you share warmth through the night. Torin, was there anything you wished to do in your with your last night in Mariposa?
As much reading as I can do before I have to go out on adventure.
Perfect. What do you do with your vast catalog of books?
Does Mariposa have a library?
Yes.
Bring them to the librarian for safekeeping?
You take them to the librarian. He knows you very well. He is shocked at your crazed disposition to leave Mariposa in the search of new knowledge and new civilizations.
Go boldly go where you've
apparently come that's where more. I was going with that. But nonetheless, his name is Kirk. And he says, Torin, how could you do such a thing? You are my friend, are you not?
Sorry, Kirk. Logic demands that I adventure with my man, woman at arms.
Comrades.
The bony one.
I need to adventure with my half-elf friend.
Torin, you and Bones.
Apparently I'm bony.
Awesome. Go on your adventures. I will remain here with your books, and I will protect them and keep them in good company. He closes up shop, your vast catalog of articles on history and iconography and geography, kept well provisioned and protected in the city of Mariposa. Upon your return on any gather information check or history check, if you are in the city of Mariposa, you will always have advantage on the check. But you are leaving Mariposa behind. You are leaving your literature behind. You soldier your explorer's pack.
Do you take one book with you?
I take one book with me. How to be the best wingman.
Yes.
Yes, it's actually a depiction of southern birds in the Greenwald, and has specific writing and detailed ornithographic representations of those birds.
Bird mating romance. Bird mating.
Rituals and dances that they perform.
All of those things. You tuck that book away deep into the confines of your explorer's pack and wait out the night. Morn arrives. There is a gray drizzle in Mariposa as you interview with the caravan master, Arwul Hanna. One thing I haven't asked, though, and we haven't really gotten a feeling yet, is what do your characters look like? Hmm. So who will be the first to interview with Arwul Hanna?
I may as well get it over with.
Excellent. Could you describe for me what, and everyone else at the table, what your character looks like as you descend the stairs to meet with Arwul Hanna in the morning in the book club inn?
She's had a very trying evening, so she has a good shawl and a hood covering her face as she trudges down the stairs, preparing herself for the inevitable interview that is coming.
What does she look like?
You can't really tell.
No, no. Yeah. I can. I'm okay. The dungeon master. I can see through shawls and obfuscation. So what color is her skin?
Whenever I picture a drow, I picture a lighter purple skin color.
Ooh.
We were going to say dark blue eyes, long black hair, and usually wears black outer coverings to blend in, and then is usually, if inside, wearing colorful colors.
And is she skinny, or is she of normal physique?
She's actually tall for a dark elf. She's 5'5", and she would be built, I would say, like a gymnast, very athletic.
Does she paint her fingernails? Are her fingernails worn? Does she chew them? Are there any other?
She likes to add color to the outside of the hands. Might be the only visible things that you see. There's not going to be a whole lot that you're going to be seeing of them. So yes, she does have colorful nails. Sometimes the colors mean things, sometimes they don't. But they are not necessarily all pretty and colorful. They get chipped and worn, and it's not something she always maintains.
And she is wearing her leather armor right now. And that's just standard stock leather armor. Is there any detailing needlework on it?
There will be intricate silver needleworking on it, depending on
how much money she has.
Yes, and they will be for specific reasons.
Oh, okay.
So it's not there just as fashion. They like look pretty. And they are meant to look pretty, but that's not their purpose.
So it's like leather armor tattooing. These embossings have a meaning to Alin. And she is carrying some weapons on her. Yeah. Are they fully on display, or are they tucked away and hidden behind this shawl and obscuring cloak?
Usually obscured. She doesn't want to come off as armed, as she is normally frowned upon to be outside in normal, regular, everyday society. So she tries to blend as much as possible.
But as she's meeting with a caravan master to be a caravan guard, does she kind of have them more on display right now?
She would say have the scimitar on display, the wooden shield, and everything else is kind of hidden away. She's packed and ready to go, and perfect. That's all you need to see.
Okay. She's got her pack shouldered. She drops it to the side, and you approach Arawal Hannah. Allow me to describe Arawal Hannah for all of you. Arawal Hannah is a dwarf. He has a shock of bright red hair that is really, really frizzy, that is all pulled back into a worn and weather-beaten leather thong with a wooden dowel pushed and poked through it.
Hashtag not a female dwarf.
Nope. Arul Hanna, despite your hopeful expression, is a male dwarf. He has a banding of freckles across his nose and cheeks, and he almost has no upper lip at all. He has no facial hair on his upper lip either. He has this massive, bushy, red neck beard. He is a burly man. When he sits at the chair, he envelops the chair. He is not fat-ish. He is just large for a dwarf. Not Bomber from The Hobbit, the one in the middle. So Boffer, if anyone can recall that. And he greets you with a cheery expression and says, "Good morning." And he rubs at his forehead as though perhaps he is hungover, as it is not uncommon for dwarves to be, and says, I don't normally do this talking thing. So forgive me if I don't know questions to ask. And he waves his hand about as he's talking, as I am doing now, as though it's going to help him figure out where all of his words are going to go. And he says, qualifications.
I have great perception. I deal really well with nature, and obviously in the dark, I can see really well, up to 120 feet.
You like tested that.
Apparently I did. He over here threw darts, and I checked at night to see. This is Torin. We were checking darts, as we do in the drinking pub. This is the feat that apparently that I can see in the dark.
We fade for a moment here. Who was the second to arrive for their interview? Interviews are all individual. You meet with him at the table, and then you go about your way. You can still be in the inn or just outside. Who was the second to arrive at the inn?
I guess because Alan kind of gestured
that
I would be coming down.
So you arrived at the inn at the conclusion of the interview for Alin. Please describe your character.
So Torin has leather armor on his back. He carries an explorer's pack and a quiver of arrows and a rope attached to the explorer's pack, and bow attached to the side of his shoulder. He's got fair skin. He's a bit taller than average. He's got gray eyes with a glint in it that almost makes it metallic. He's got jet black hair that he holds in a headband that's kind of set like a crown to keep the hair out of his eyes for accuracy when he's doing ranged weapons as well as his reading. The hair goes through the headband and straight down. It's about shoulder length, but it's all gone back. It's a confident step. And
what do his boots look like? Are they new? Are they well-worn?
They are somewhat well-worn, yeah.
Are they of a specific type of hide or color? Is there anything, any detail about the boots that would be interesting or catch the eye?
Funny you ask. The boots actually are about halfway up to the knee. They are of a dark brown color, but they have a purple stitching to them, which is almost a crisscross purple
like
stitching.
Argyle?
Well, no, because crisscross will make you jump. You take
a seat.
I don't
get that reference at all.
You're too young.
Oh, I'm old. I just dated myself. Shit.
At least you paid for dinner. You sit down. He asks the same question. Not the I don't normally do this part, but he feels like he's starting to get it when he goes, qualifications.
Is this outside the pub or in the pub?
He's in the pub, yes. In the book club inn.
I grab one of the darts and throw it as accurately as I can to the bullseye of the board.
Roll me a d20.
19.
So now you'll add your proficiency with darts, your dexterity, and I believe all that adds up to 25. That is a rather heroic throw. In fact, you sit at the table. The dartboard is between a large pillar in the floor and you throw some sort of curved dart throw where it goes around and still manages. It's not a perfect bullseye. You hit the green ring instead of the red, but Arul almost falls out of his chair thinking you've just thrown it askew and sees the dart in the dartboard. And without even finding out your name or talking to you about compensation, just says, "You're hired! Get out to the wagons!" You may, of course, continue the scene, but we will segue from there to the third individual who arrives at the tavern, and that is...
Fifrud. It is I. I am a dwarf with a darkish brown colored beard that is braided into one main braid down the middle and then two more down the side, each capped with the most expensive beads possible, which are mostly wood and other cheap materials that he can afford. I also walk in with a sense of feigned confidence, a kind of walk that appears like he learned it from somewhere. He saw it once and he's been trying to imitate it ever since.
Okay. Yep.
He...
Like John Travolta?
Yeah,
but
pretty much.
It's like John Travolta. Like, so not like John Travolta, like John Travolta.
And he also, upon one hip, has his clerical book attached to his belt. And on the other side, he has a very, very beautiful, amazingly well-made, and very, very valuable dagger. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Ostentatiously presented so that all of the public can see and admire the beauty of this dagger.
And upon his right palm, there is his holy symbol, a tattoo of a small crescent moon in front of a larger crescent moon to represent his dedication to Fultus.
Again, Arul bids you sit, and then in Dwarven, he says, "What are your qualifications?"
Well, first, I'd just like to say thank you for inviting me here. Or for allowing me to have this time, this opportunity. I am very proficient with a mace. I'm a good deal maker. And I am also a cleric of Fultus, which means that I am capable of feats of divine will, if you will, so to speak.
All right, 25 gold.
Does that include vacation pay?
It's not a vacation.
No, but if I were to take a vacation at some point down the road...
Well, you'll be on the road doing work the whole time.
Okay, that's fair.
Excellent, he holds out his hand.
Okay. My character asks a lot of questions. This is why...
And I have forestalled those questions with an outstretched hand to seal the deal.
This is a smart tactic.
That's what Fafrud says? This is a smart tactic.
I'll have to remember that.
Does he take the hand or not?
Oh, I thought you meant like it was... He covered my face. Not to make me to stop.
He extends his hand and he says, "Is this
like a handshake?"
Yeah, like to shake your hand.
Yes. Okay, I accept it. I definitely thought it was just face palm.
Face palmed you with his massive
hand. No, I will shake his hand.
Excellent. You shake his hand
with youthful excitement.
Perfect. The scene fades, and our final applicant to the role of caravan guard,
Nem, comes down in like what can be described as just a step up from underwear, nightshirt, did not want to leave the comfy bed that was once warmed
so
by
is
her
Nem
good
late
friends.
To the
No, she's on time, she's just not dressed. She comes down and she's got a skip in her step. She kind of looks like a Californian elven babe. She's blonde-haired, golden-skinned, charisma of 17, so she's quite attractive. Yeah. But it's more just like she didn't care to like get all dressed up because she kind of represents herself. And she comes in and sits down, crosses her legs and says,
wait,
hey.
Wait, she sits down, then crosses her legs? Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. So he goes, he looks her up. He looks her down. He's torn. There's a thump of something hitting the bottom of the table. The bottom of the underside of the table. He has a pained expression on his face. He says, well, hello.
Hi. I'm Nem. And you? I am a paladin of Sylvanas.
Right.
And I'm here in Mariposa to make sure that her unholy wrath is brought about those that destroy our wilderness. Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
But you see his forehead break out into sweat.
But first, I would really like to help you with your mission. And
all right, you're hired.
Thank you. I'm going to get dressed now.
Oh.
Shake on it?
All right.
He sounds so disappointed.
His hand is very sweaty. We go back to other parts of other interviews. He's talking to Alin still, and he says,
so tell me, what drives you to be an adventurer?
It sounds like a bottled question. It sounds like a question he's heard someone else say before. He doesn't sound like he actually cares what the answer is. But it sounds like he knows this is a question that has to be asked.
Can you repeat the question for me, please?
Right, of course. He looks at notes and then he says, what drives you to be an adventurer?
What is your caravan for and where are you going again?
Right, we're going to Greyhaven. We're leaving at noon and we're heading on the northerly trail. Which is not the normal one, but whatever. And
sorry, and why going north?
Because I said so. And
okay, so does it really matter why I'm coming with you?
You're a guard, right? Uh-huh. I'm hiring you to be a guard on the
trail.
Yeah,
you obviously need one.
Well, I need more than one.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to know if you're good enough to hire as one.
Uh-huh, but you don't actually know the answers to your questions.
What answers? To what questions?
That you're asking.
Don't spin this around on me.
Oh, what? Sorry.
So what drives you to be an adventurer? That's the question. I have to write an answer.
I have to check this box.
I foresee that you are going to need protection along the northern road, as it's not a road you normally travel. And I am here to help you with that protection. So,
but why? Why do you want to do that?
Because you need help.
That's a good answer.
Okay.
Have you done much traveling?
Enough.
What is enough? I don't have a tick mark for that. Is it one not much traveling or five lots and lots of traveling? Is that a three? Anyway, so we move on from there. The scene devolves.
He broke Carrie. She's been in an interview.
Which is perfectly fine. We fade from there. We get the same question asked of Torin as Arawal says to Torin after shaking his hands and hiring him. He says, what drives you to be an adventurer?
What is it that your caravan seeks?
Safe. It's all these questions. I'm not used to this. Right, okay, well, we're seeking safe passage to Greyhaven. But why do you want to be an adventurer?
Findal Dimfizzle Findazzle said that there was some knowledge that he was seeking. I seek it as well.
Knowledge is a good answer. An answer.
I also saw you shaking the hand of Alin, and I'd like to adventure with her.
Well, she's...
Did I actually shake it? Really?
Oh.
It's established.
Sort of
it's canon.
Confirmation there.
It's canon now. It has to happen.
I want to see how that handshake happens. It's going to be awkward as fuck, but it'll happen. As stated. All right, the screen fades there as we get the same question asked as you're shaking hands with Arwel. He asks in Dwarven, what drives you to be an adventurer?
Honestly, Arwel, I just want to do the right thing. One day at a time, one right thing after another, one step at a time.
Well, it's how you walk. And how do I spell your name?
F-I-F-R-U. With two dots above it.
Umlaut.
D.
With a D at the end.
Sifrud.
And your mother spoke Dwarven when she gave you this name.
I.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
No, don't add an I. That I was saying yes.
Oh, so it's not Fifrudi. That's good to know. All right.
No, I get that a lot.
Two dots. So like a little happy face.
Yes. I like to think it made my mother happy.
Right then. And that's a fade on that scene.
One of these days we might find out what Fifrud means in Dwarven.
Nem is already turning to go back upstairs and he calls
skipping.
Out. Skipping. And he calls, which is a standard wood elf way of walking, otherwise known as flouncing. And Arwel calls out as you're leaving. And he says, wait, miss, what drives you to be an adventurer?
So she skips back and leans over the table, just trying to get as close as possible so that he can hear her, and whispers gently towards him, the need to get eternal vengeance on those that wrong Sylvanas. In the cutest way possible.
With a little girly chuckle at the end.
And then turns around.
And then I turn around.
Skips off.
And skip off.
None of you can see this, but in his little book that he's writing things down, he writes ephemeral song and anus. He looks at it two or three times. And he's like, that. And he scratches it out and he writes sea stuff. Period. And you get the feeling that perhaps he was caught up in staring at her cleavage and missed most of what she said.
Never truly appreciated in your time.
We return now to Alin, who finishes off the interviewing as he's trying to get a number for how much traveling Alin has done. And you said enough. Well then, enough is enough. There's 25 gold for the travel with your room and your board taken care of on the caravan route. Cover your needs.
I'm going to require 50 because Nem's with me. And you'll meet her later and you'll understand why.
So I'm just to pay you for the both of you.
No, I never said that. I said I required 50. The reason is
the rate,
Nem, and you'll meet her later.
The rate is 25. It's non-negotiable.
All right.
Comes with your room and your board.
You will be paying me Nem's portion of that.
All right, well.
Because she's my roommate. We are going to be rooming together.
Okay.
So we're saving you
I will,
that payment. Do you understand?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
But if I do understand later, I'll give you a nod and a wink from my seat. And if I do so do that,
right.
I'll recognize why that's the case.
Perfect.
We have a deal. He offers his hand.
I wipe my hand off and I shake his hand.
And thus we conclude
walk away.
The interviewing section. Did any of you have questions that you wanted to ask Arwel within the context of the interview that I kind of ran over because I was cutting the interview back and forth?
Nem wouldn't care, but if we find out how long we're going to be gone for.
That'd be nice. Also, if we're provided, like, a list of everything that we're actually provided with, like, if we get any kind of extra equipment or we get replenished for any ammunition we use or anything like that?
You ask all those questions, and the answer to those particular questions is no.
Okay.
With your goods and your equipment. Oh, yeah, sorry.
My character would be better at phrasing this, but he might try to ask, what is Findel's quest in this?
Arawul wouldn't know anything about the specifics of Findel. He just knows that Findel has paid to be a member of the caravan, and his wagon has been loaded up and is being delivered, being taken to Greyhaven as a member of the caravan. And Findel, as a respected member of Mariposan society, has recommended the four of you as guards for this caravan.
Oh, very nice.
So it is not the skills of your interviewing that has gotten you this job.
No kidding.
What?
Yes, this was just a formality as you leave through the northern gate, where the book club inn is not too far away from. The skies are gray. It is rather hazy. The time of year is spring, when it is not the best of time for a caravan to leave, as there are the chances of heavy rains. But it is not winter, and so it is at least a reasonable time to leave. The wagons are all situated outside of the gates, the northern gate of Mariposa. There are 8 wagons in total, each one outfitted in a different way, carrying different sorts of supplies. You all meet up. Findel is in his wagon, his 2 sturdy draft horses already prancing a bit as all 8 wagons are lining up. Arawul Hanna has a wagon at the front. It is the caravan master's wagon. It is an open wagon and has a whole bunch of goods and required needs that a caravan would need to have on a journey. Extra wheels, spokes, casks of water, amongst other things. The birds are singing out in the wilderness. The wagons are all hitched up. Seeing that the guards are there, Arawul whistles up and says, "Wagons out!" I gotta work on that. He mutters to himself.
And sing with the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. And raise a glass and toast to the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own.
This concludes the first episode. Tavern Tales presents Dungeon in a Box. Find out more about Dungeon in a Box at www.dungeoninabox.com. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. Find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or on their website, www.badbillyband.com, or follow them on Twitter, @BadBillyBand. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or to find us on Twitter @Tavern_Tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.